I am Plante on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. A new play at the Firehall Arts Centre starting in previews this Saturday is Jen Griffin's House and Home. She joins me now to discuss her play, the themes therein, and how she views Vancouver. The play is described as a biting comedic take on Vancouver's real estate crisis. Property values are high, while vacancies are few. I'll ask Ms. Griffin about the characters in the play, chiefly Hillary and Henry, a couple who are house rich and cash poor. House and Home is directed by the Fire Hall's artistic producer, Donna Spencer, and opens in previews the 11th of January and runs until the 25th. The production stars Gillian Farge, Andrew Wheeler, Sam Bobb, Sebastian Archibald, Kim Ho, and Darian Rossi. Jen Griffin is an award-winning actor and playwright. Her first play, Drinking with Persephone, earned her the Sydney Risk Award in 1999 for Best Emerging Playwright. Visit firehallartcenter.com for tickets and information. We taped this interview in mid-December. Please welcome to the Plante Online program, Jen Griffin. Ms. Griffin, good morning.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So we're talking just before Christmas. It's less than a month before the show begins performances. I guess I've caught you one afternoon, I guess, in the rehearsal hall. Is that right?
Yeah, we just had a reading of the script with the cast.
What is that like? Because, I mean, writing is known to be a solitary process. To bring
but
other
writing
people.
Writing for theater isn't.
Oh,
is it?
No.
Well, I mean, a little bit, but you really do need to hear it read aloud. So, yeah. So we just did that.
And so when it's read aloud as it is, do you find that the writing changes at all? I mean, I guess it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
You see the typos. It's key. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, there's too much clunk on a line.
Mm.
It doesn't have the fluidity and the humor that it needs. And so you're like, wow, why did I add that word? And that's got to go.
Yeah. And I understand, not having obviously read the play, House at Home, it's a funny play, isn't it?
Well, we're hoping.
Do people wonder, though, if there's much humor in how the city is, especially with real estate and housing? I mean, I guess you do have to find the humor since we're all talking about it, right?
Yes, I suppose. But all of the people, they're in disparate circumstances in the play, but they all are technically homed, you know?
Yeah.
So we're at a place, the Fire Hall in Bor and Cordova, where there's people all around us who are not actually homed. So homeless people are not being made fun of in the play.
Right.
We have a homeless guy who's based on a real person that I cross paths with in life, and he's homed by the time the play starts. But he has issues with being homed.
Right, right.
So that's where the humor is for him. Yeah.
I guess even if one is homed, I mean, we know people like this all the time. I mean, where it is rather tenuous, and that adds to a
very
lot of stress,
tenuous.
Right?
Even in the situation for the owning class, you know, in this case. I mean, obviously, the owning class are where the humor exists is because of their particular privilege.
Yeah.
But in this case, in House and Home, Hillary and Henry, who are the couple who own the house, they came by it by hook or by crook. I'm commenting on the idealism of Vancouver as it used to exist, you know, a heartbeat home for hippies.
Yeah.
And it's now, you know, just a capitalist mecca.
Mm-hmm.
The city's demographics and landscape has shifted, you know, remarkably. So they represent the shift.
What are Hillary and Henry, what are they like? I mean, I guess we get a sense of how they evolve throughout the show. But, I mean, thinking back to when they managed to land a house to where they are today, I mean, there must be some trajectory or some devolution,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah, so Hillary is a social worker who was formerly a poet waitress, but she's now on stress leave because you know, she's been dealing on the front lines. And she lent a client her car, and so she was put on stress leave.
Mm.
And Henry is a former butoh dancer who got his law degree when he was in his 20s and then was in butoh, but had to leave butoh because there's no money in it. And so he's gone back to practicing law late in life. And so if you do that, unless you're very lucky, it's not easy.
Mm.
Law is very competitive. So So he has like one client, and the client is bankrupt. So.
And so they are like a lot of people that we know, house mm-hmm. rich and cash poor.
That's right, and house rich, cash poor. So they move into their car, and because they're in a tight corner, they rent out their house on Airbnb.
Mm.
And that affects their downstairs tenants.
Yeah.
I guess, and there's rat infants. There's yeah. rats.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I guess that's
rats are actually in play.
And that's a, but all of that is an experience that people, I mean, we all know people like this, don't we?
We are this.
Right.
I think we are this, yeah.
So what do you think, because if we look to history and how we've ended up here, mm-hmm. is that a good guide as to where we're headed, say?
You mean late-stage capitalism as a guide to our future destruction? I don't know. Is that this kind of interview? I don't know. Yes. How did we get here? We got here through blinders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so of course, unfortunately, one of the greatest tools of comedy is our blinders. You know, we see things in a particular way. And you can only see so much. Like, I mean, you got up this morning, I got up this morning. We both got up this morning on good faith that the world would not end
right.
at 4 p.m.
Yeah.
It might. So there's only so much that we can take in. And the stuff that we keep out is usually what's causing problems.
Yeah.
You know, we're just starting to talk about global warming, but if we talk about it all the time, it's a lot to take on and carry through the day.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, it's really uplifting. I can hear it in your voice. It's like, oh, good, let's talk about that. Let's talk about how we're all going to die. I can't wait to get into that discussion.
Well, I'm wondering then if there is, are there solutions in comedy?
For global warming?
Or
well, we'd have to learn to use less light to comedy clubs, perhaps. But
that's true. Yeah. But in terms of how dire the housing situation is here in Vancouver, and it's not just Vancouver, it's all metropolitan cities throughout this continent, isn't
yeah,
it, that we're all facing?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's, you know, I think we have to look at it. Like in New York, who lives in Manhattan?
Right.
Not that many people.
Yeah.
Most people that are even kind of wealthy, but are living in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Because there's kind of, it's just real estate. Like, it's been bought up by gazillionaires. And there's no vibe. So, you know, there's problems with urban planning and how the core of a city can become like a wasteland of high-rises. And, you know, I don't think any of us chose that or created it.
Yeah.
But urban planners have something to do with it.
They have something to answer for, obviously, yeah.
Well, they do.
Yeah. When a city doesn't have a vibe, when it doesn't have sort of the cultural life that it needs,
mm-hmm.
I ask this of artists who come on the show, people like yourself, playwrights and actors and the sort,
mm-hmm.
What keeps them here? And I guess at the same time, when a city loses the sort of cultural life that it has, mm-hmm. it's because artists are displaced.
Mm-hmm.
For you, what's kept you here? I mean, it's a city that we know people that have had to flee, right?
Yeah. Well, I came here from Alberta. I sort of, you know, I sobered up. I left when I was 19
uh-huh.
and crawled to the border because it was a land of opportunity. So, I mean, I'm also an actor, and I've stayed here because I can work in all mediums. I can work in the film industry. I can work in theater. And I can be a playwright. So it's not as hierarchical. It wasn't. It could maybe be, no, it's still not that hierarchical. Toronto's more established,
uh-huh.
you know, and after being in snowbanks all my life, I didn't relish the idea of going to a Toronto snowbank.
Right.
So I came out here with a boyfriend when I was, 21. That was when I formally moved.
Uh-huh.
And it's just been a land of opportunity for me. Now, what's it that like for a 21-year-old coming to this province or this city now?
Yeah.
I don't really know. I do see young people still making great inroads into the arts.
Uh-huh.
They do. You know, the doors are a bit more open when we're young.
Yeah,
So what happens to the vibe of the city? You know, where I do live now is Marple, and it has its issues because there's land that is really expensive and big empty houses in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But it still has a working man's vibe. Like, it's an area where normal people have lived for a long period of time, and you can kind of feel it. You know.
Yeah.
So I if I needed to have a heightened artistic vibe in my neighborhood, probably Marple would not be a good score.
Right.
But I like to go to be close to the Fraser River.
Yeah.
And have access to, you know, just a lot of greenery and still be part of a hood. And a hood that's not pretentious.
Right.
I care about that.
Yeah. What neighborhood would we find Hillary and Henry's house in?
It's, you know, it's probably, like, sourced from my Marple. It's probably Marple-ish, but, you know, the actors and who are involved in the show, I've told them they have to come to an agreement on decide where it is in the city.
Uh-huh.
You know, there is a comment, there's one line where Ren, the Chinese-Canadian character, says to her partner, you don't like it here because there's too much bubble tea, not enough coffee.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, you know, it's a neighborhood that it's not Commercial Drive.
Right, right. When you look at the city as you have in the course of writing this play and now producing it for the stage or seeing it being produced on the stage.
Well, the Fire Hall's producing it.
Yeah. What is it like to I guess, have the opportunity to say something about where we are in the city at this time?
What's it like? It's both daunting and terrifying and really awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it intends to be a funny play, and, you know, here's hoping that it is.
Yeah.
So, but to have the platform to say something, how do I speak to that? It's a great privilege.
Yeah. And so what's involved in terms of taking on that task? I mean, are you talking to your neighbors? Are you talking to other people? Is this lived experience even?
It's lived experience, but, I mean, when it came to writing the Generation Z character, it's like I asked young people that I knew to be, you know, consult with me about stuff. And what else? We had experiences like where we lived, we were constantly being dogged by realtors trying to get us to sell the house.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, the characters that kind of come in as auxiliary characters, they've crossed my path.
Yeah.
So I've had these experiences are derived from my life, but then, of course, it's all composites for fiction.
The other thing I've noticed, because I've interviewed a lot of people over the years, especially when I talk to people who have lived here and now live elsewhere, they always have fond memories of living here and whatever neighborhood they lived in, it doesn't matter what neighborhood they lived in, they think it was the best, place they've ever lived, if you will.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Do you find that in terms of your experience? I mean, where you live today, is that where you want to live, where you'd like to stay even?
I guess what I like about it is it's very, I'll stay there. I will stay in our neighborhood. I mean, it's a bit far away, like it's further down Granville, but certainly I don't want to live in a neighborhood that's really self-conscious, really conscious of itself.
Mm.
I don't, you know, neighbors who are, you know, constantly pruning their lawn or worried about the hippest thing or, you know, like, being way PC all over me all day long about whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, where we live, we do have, you know, we have people that rent that live next door, and they don't put their garbage out in a way that in any way deters the rats. In fact, it invites them to come over.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're always dealing with stuff.
Yeah. See, I live around Fraser and King Edward.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah. And
that's a really awesome, but that's cool there, too.
Yeah, it's changed a lot, though, over the years. I've noticed it's changing quite quickly, and maybe I don't know, maybe I'm just, you know, not wanting it to change that fast. But, you know, I like living here, and I will continue to.
Well, it's gotten trendy at Fraser at King Edward.
It has, trendy. And that's, I guess that's my fear of it. I don't want it to end up like Main Street or Commercial.
Right.
Yeah. Jen, would you tell us about some of the other characters? I mean, you mentioned a moment ago that, there's a Generation Z character. Is that fun for you to explore sort of different characters as you do in the show?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's different challenges for the younger people and the older people in the show. They have different challenges.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all in the same boat, kind of like the uncertainty of real estate. And then there's the fact that, you know, we're on unceded territory.
Right.
You know, the Coast Salish people. So it's like that is, it's stolen land. So that heightens the stakes or the uncertainty or the instability of the whole thing.
It really does let us think about what home really means.
Yeah. Yes. And it's, I mean, for me, it informs me that I can't be too comfortable.
Right.
You know, and why should I be? Because it's unsolved.
Right.
But this is just coming into view. Like, of course, this has always been the truth. But the truth is now coming into view and being revealed. So, you know, we're talking about very serious things here. But I find that people in crisis or in, you know, there's a limit. There's some things that you cannot make fun of.
Sure.
But, and certainly we're not making fun of being on indigenous land.
Right.
It's more the question of the people, like, scrambling for their survival, you know, not actual survival, guns to the head, but scrambling day to day to make sense of their lives.
This is, as you mentioned, a Fire Hall production. I noticed it said that it was an Arts Club Silver Anniversary Commission.
Yeah, it was commissioned originally by the Arts Club. Yeah.
I see. And I mean, I've mentioned already two companies in this town that are vital to sort of the cultural heartbeat of this place. It's still, for all its problems, it's still a great city for people like yourself to work in, and isn't it?
Well, it has been for me, but I don't know what it's going to be for people tomorrow or the next day. You know, in the next 5 years, what it's like for young people. Like, certainly, like, maybe theater companies and the art scene will start to exist in New Westminster.
Right. Well, you've made me think a lot about where I live and what home means in the course of our chat and preparing for
good.
It.
Oh, good. I mean, like, you've got a really, like, I guess if you want to run across the street from where you live, there's a super expensive coffee shop you can go to. Right?
I'll drown
like,
my...
What about that? Yeah. What about the coffee shops being like, instead of like Denny's or Tim Hortons,
right.
Now it's like $5.
Yeah, yeah.
And you want to make sure you're wearing a tie or you've at least had a bath before you go in there. Yeah, I know, yeah.
But I can't wait to see the show, and like a lot of people in this town, we'll look forward to what you have to say and for a lot of laughs. I appreciate your time. Break a leg, as they say.
Okay, thank you.
House and Home is on at the Fire Hall Art Center the 11th through the 25th of January, 280 East Cordova. Visit firehallartcenter.ca for tickets and information. Jen Griffin joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plato.